Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by SuperValu Insurance, looking out for you and yours with our new life and mortgage protection insurance.
But first today, well, she's been nominated already for 4 Oscars, and Saoirse Ronan has presented us with another outstanding role in The Outrun. She plays the part of Rona, a 20-something scientist who has to leave London and returns to Orkney, off the northeast coast of Scotland, when her alcohol addiction ruins the life she had made for herself. It's based on the book by Amy Liptrot. Well, I met Saoirse when she was in Dublin on Friday, and we began by talking about Rona, the character she plays in The Outrun.
So Rona is a slightly fictionalised version of the real life woman, Amy Liptrot, who helped us to write the script and who wrote the book about her own life. We decided early on that we were going to change her name just so we could have a little bit of sort of healthy distance, which I think was kind of good for everyone. And we follow Rona, we jump in between different time frames over the course of like 8 or 9 years. But we follow her as she leaves the Orkney Islands. She grew up on a farm. Her father has, you know, pretty serious mental illness, which is something that I think really shaped her growing up. It eventually sort of pushed her mother to find the church in order to find some stability in her life. So it was quite chaotic where she grew up. She went to London and sort of sought out the same type of chaos, but in the club scene and the night scene of East London. Her drinking and her relationship with drink becomes more and more unhealthy and out of control as the years go by, and eventually her addiction sort of comes to the surface and she begins to lose everything and everyone dear to her. We then jump ahead and she's in recovery. She's just come out of rehab and she has nothing in London, and so she moves back to Orkney, and unwillingly, but she has nowhere else to go. And it's really about her, I guess, finding who she is now, rediscovering that part of herself that she really loved when she would go out on a night out, but couldn't sort of access that in the same way anymore. It's about finding community in isolation. It's about reconnecting with nature and how much of a high you can get from that. It's a real sort of celebration, I suppose, of and an honouring of a full life, the highs and the lows of that.
It's an incredibly demanding role, because watching it, you're absolutely brilliant in it. If you don't get an Oscar for it, well, it's a travesty. But did you find it demanding to play that role? Because she's an alcoholic, so in a lot of the scenes, they're quite traumatic.
They are. I mean, I actually think there was only one scene that, I hate to use this word, but it did kind of trigger me, I suppose. I found it quite overwhelming. And it was the scene where myself and Papa Essiadu, who plays Dane and her partner in the film, they've just returned home and she's just ruined this very important night for him. And he starts to pour bottles of wine down the sink, and she just sort of goes into this really chaotic, hysterical, emotional state and becomes mean and this very kind of ugly version of herself. And I think sort of like physically and emotionally really having to go to that place in that scene definitely was something that I needed to step away from as soon as we'd finished with the take. I just needed a moment. And I don't really get that a lot when I'm working. So, yeah, that was kind of overwhelming. But apart from that, it was a very sort of insightful and cathartic experience for me. It's why I wanted to do it. It's something, like many others, that has affected my life. It's the sort of confusion and frustration that comes with watching a loved one go through something like that, feeling like you're not enough, that you're not enough to change them, cracking that open when you're finally ready to, and understanding the psychology of a person like that who's suffering from that illness was something that I personally needed. And so I'm incredibly grateful to the film for that.
And obviously, when you say it's personal, obviously it's so personal. You don't talk about why it's so personal, do you?
I mean, like anyone, I have people close to me who have suffered from this addiction in particular. And, you know, some of whom have come out the other side and are in recovery and some who aren't. And that's painful, regardless of what side of it you're on, you know. And we've seen the response to the movie. It's been so kind of widespread, and it already seems to feel so universal. And like it's actually, which I hadn't thought about at the time. We had a screening the other night and there were people of all different ages there, and every single one of them connected to it because they either had a child who was suffering from addiction, they had gone through it themselves or are going through it, they had a partner who had gone through it. You know, I feel like there's no specific demographic for this movie. It's so universal. Alcohol, as a substance in particular, is so ingrained in our culture. It's everywhere. And that was an incredibly enlightening thing when I started to actually re-examine how much that's a part of our everyday life and how dependent, reliant we all are on it, even if we're not addicted to it.
It's nice, though, because it ends on a hopeful note. In other
words,
it's like it's a tough watch, but it's not bleak because it ends up positive.
It's really not. And like, we're very hesitant to brand it as an addiction movie. It's a recovery movie. You know, there is probably a quarter of the film where we watch Rona at her absolute worst, but then the rest of it is about her trudging on. It's about her taking it day by day. At some points, it's harder than others. But for me, even as an audience member watching it, this movie ultimately is about those brief moments of joy and lightness that we all kind of live for, that Rona finds and that also the people around her find, you know, in spite of the hardship that they've had.
Is it true that it was your husband, Jack, who originally gave you Amy Liptrot's book?
Yes, he is a very proud Scotsman, and so he was always fascinated with the Orkney Islands. He had travelled there a few years before, and whenever he goes to a new place, he always tries to find, in particular, a piece of fiction from that place, or an author who had come from that place. And so The Outrun had been on our bookshelf for years. And during lockdown, he finally read it. And as soon as he finished it, he handed it to me and he said, this is the next role that you have to play. And so I read it straight away and I agreed with him. And I think apart from the personal reasons that I wanted to delve into a topic like this, also from a performance perspective, it was allowing me to explore things that I had never been able to with a performance before. Because I was playing someone who was under the influence, it meant that their judgment so often was so clouded that I could make the performance as big, as small, as ridiculous, as funny, as heartbreaking, as beautiful, as ugly as I wanted it to be, because for a large section of the movie, I'm not in my right mind. So actually, I don't want this to sound insensitive, but it is kind of a gift as an actor to be given a role like that where you can kind of go anywhere with it.
It's beautiful in terms of the scenery. I mean, in Ireland, we always think we have the most beautiful country in the world, and we probably do, but Scotland comes pretty swiftly behind it. I mean, the images are stunning, aren't they?
Yes, Scotland is unbelievably beautiful, and the landscape there is just, I think it's incomparable. It's really amazing, and I think there's the difference between Scotland and Ireland is that there is an isolation and a sort of, it can feel quite stark with how empty it can be, you know, where it's just the land, it's just the elements that you have to keep you company in a lot of parts of that country, in a way that you really have to look for it in Ireland, and you can find it, and when you do, it's amazing. But it's kind of widespread in Scotland, and I think that really has shaped the people there. And Amy Liptrot, you know, has said herself how connected she is to seclusion and rural life and the sort of wildness that comes with living in a place like Orkney in particular, even compared to mainland Scotland, which is really wild. Like there are no trees there because there's so much wind. Like in the summertime, they will have massive storms and ferries and planes get cancelled all the time. It's isolated. Culturally, it's sort of separate from Scotland in a lot of ways. It's a really fascinating place.
The Scots are really straight as well, though. I really like that trait. Is that one of the reasons you fell in love with Jack?
I don't know. Yes. It's definitely, it's something that I really admire about the Scots. I like that. Yeah, I like that directness, and I like the sort of, I don't know, they're very efficient, the Scots, you know, they get the job done. And as Jack always reminds me, they built the world. They're the best inventors, and they got stuff done. So it's kind of an honour to have learned so much about this country that's so close to us, that's our cousin. To have spent so much time there over the last few years has been amazing.
You and Jack produced this film. You were working together. What was that like?
It's amazing. I mean, it's so great to work with anyone that you're close to personally, because you just have a shorthand with them, whether it's someone who, you know, is your partner or your friend or a family member, or just like a director that you've worked with before, someone who you have a very close professional relationship with. It saves so much time when you can just, as you say, when you can be really upfront with them. So creatively, I feel like it's a really great environment to work in, because it feels very safe, but you also still feel like you're being pushed. And, you know, Jack and I both read this book at the same time. We have very similar taste, and we knew that this was a story that we wanted to help bring to the screen. So to be able to sort of imagine and realise that vision together, as well as with the rest of the team, was just fantastic.
You were lambing in it. Was that the first time you'd actually lambed?
Yes, I'd never lambed before. I'd never planned on lambing. And we went up there probably about like 4 months before we actually made the movie, which was another great thing about the experience of making The Outrun, is that we sort of had to really bend to the natural elements, to the animals that we were working with, to the locals that we were working with. The lambing was this really intense experience where I would like turn up at one of the farms, I'd watch lambs being born. The farmer would be like, yeah, you just get in there, you pull it out, you shake it about, you stick some hay up its nose, you wipe it off, you spray it, you give it back to the ewe. And so I watched that maybe 3 or 4 times. And then for a couple of days, we would do hair and makeup at like 3:30 a.m. We would go into the barn and we would just wait. And there were days where none of the ewes would go into labour, and then they would. And the camera crew had to be ready, sound had to be ready to go, I had to be ready to go. And I remember the first lamb, I delivered about 7 lambs. and the first lamb that I delivered, I was convinced that I had killed it, because he was limp when he came out and he looked really lifeless. And Kyle, our like farming consultant, who is a farmer, was like coaching me through it off screen. He was like, okay, just rub it now. Okay, now get it up on its feet and get the airwaves clear. And it was an absolutely amazing experience. And I think as a woman to like, to be so close to another female species while you're bringing their baby into the world was like wild. It's mad.
Amazing. As we come to a close, you've been so successful for so long. Does it get more enjoyable? Do you become more confident in your roles? Or is it still a difficult business?
Well, the business and the work are two very separate things for me. So the work is obviously my priority, and it always has been. And I think that's been the thing that's kind of kept me grounded when you're put into the chaos of like promoting a film, because that feels very foreign and alien to a lot of us, if you're in it for the right reasons. But I've always held on to that belief that like the work is the important thing to me. I think as an actor, the more experience that I've gotten, the more confident that I am, and the more comfortable I am in the unknown. It's not that I go into the beginning of a job now and I'm sort of overly confident or arrogant or think that I know it all. It's more just like being okay with not having all of the answers straight away and being open to the process, and sort of letting it build and build day by day. So that's definitely gotten stronger as the years have gone on, for sure.
Well, Saoirse, thanks so much for chatting to us today.
Thank
it's a brilliant movie. Your performance is incredible. It's called The Outrun,
yes.
And it starts next Friday in cinemas in Ireland.
Thank you.